You are listening to Once a Raider, Always a Raider on the official Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Jerry Knapp.
Hello once again, Raider Nation. Welcome to the latest edition of Once a Raider, Always a Raider. I'm your host, Jerry Knapp. On this episode, we have a special treat for you. Now, I'm not John Facenda. I would never claim to be John Facenda. I can't do a John Facenda impression. But it seems like John Facenda should be telling you this story or narrating some great highlight film. In any case, the 1967 Raiders finished that season with a 13-1 record, becoming the first and only one-loss team in American Football League history. This also marked the first postseason appearance for the Silver and Black. In April of 1967, the Raiders, in a stunning move, traded quarterback Tom Flores and wide receiver Art Powell to the Buffalo Bills for quarterback Daryl LaMonica and wide receiver Glenn Bass. LaMonica became the first 3,000-yard passer in Raiders history as he led an offense that featured wide receivers Warren Wells and Fred Biletnikoff, former Heisman Trophy winner Billy Cannon, and running back Clem Daniels, probably the best dual-threat running back in the American Football League at that time. But it was the defense, nicknamed the 11 Angry Men, that was the story that season. The unit, led by defensive end Ben Davidson and middle linebacker Dan Connors, racked up 67 sacks. The secondary became a no-fly zone as the Raiders hauled in 30 interceptions. The 11 Angry Men were also an opportunistic bunch, recording 6 defensive touchdowns on the year. This group, the 1967 Raiders, won the first championship in team history in a dominating 40-7 performance over the Houston Oilers in the AFL title game. Last year, we celebrated the 50th anniversary of that championship season, and I had the privilege of delivering the trophy to the field, a trophy that most of the players on that team had never seen. Not that long ago, I had the opportunity to chat with several members of that team, including Daryl LaMonica, Clem Daniels, Howie Williams, Gus Otto, and more. Let's listen now on Once a Raider, Always a Raider.
What do you remember? You know, you were traded to the Raiders from Buffalo. What do you remember about coming to the Raiders and what that team was like?
Well, it was basically a shock to me because I talked to Ralph Wilson Jr. and Sr. the night before, and it pumped me all up. I was going to come back and be their starting quarterback with the Bills and stuff. And then 8 hours later, I was traded. And I was in Fresno. I had to call the Fresno Bee to find out if it was true. And it was. And I had a phone call from Al Davis. And he says, I hope you're happy about the trade. And I said, I'm a little shocked right now. You know, because I got traded for Tom Flores and Art Powell.
Right.
And so for me, it was a big shock. But it gave me an opportunity to come back to the West Coast because I was born and raised in Fresno, California, and give my folks a chance to come up and watch me play and stuff. So I went up and met with Al Davis and the coaching staff the next day, and I felt really good about it. I picked up my playbook and started studying that day for it, and so I'm just proud to be a Raider, and that's how it happened for me.
Well, everybody I've talked to said you fit right in with the team, and you took the reins as a starting quarterback, and the offense.
Well,
is...
I had paid my dues for 4 years with Buffalo. We won for 4 years there, too. I played behind Jack Kemp. I came off the bench and won 7 games for us in one stretch there, one of our championship years and stuff. But it gave me an opportunity. I thought I was ready, and the timing was right. The Raiders had all the, you know, the speed and the power that goes with winning, and you know, I fit right into their offensive scheme, and it was a very comfortable fit, and I felt very very much at ease with it.
Now, you go 13-1 in 67, and you beat Houston in the AFL Championship game 40-7. What do you remember about that run and playing in that championship game?
Well, it was exciting, but you know, you just take one game at a time. You win that and you have a day to think about it, and boom, you got to get ready for the next game. And it just seemed to go by quick. And then we got into a championship game and did very well in the championship game. We had a big score. I don't really remember the score at this time, but we scored a lot of points. But we were a good football team, and we were able to take advantage of the situations that we came up with. And, you know, we didn't care. That group of guys, even today at our reunions, when we're together, it's like we never left training camp. There's a certain era that we have about each other that it's like brothers in the same family, and you never leave that. And that's what we had, and we knew we could win. We didn't care if special teams wanted, or the defense wanted, or the offense wanted. We knew we were going to win, and that's all that mattered. And that's what made us so special.
Now, one of the things that Otto says about when you came in, that was your mobility. You had the ability to scramble and extend plays with your legs and that kind of thing. Was that what? A part of your game, or was that just something you did?
No, it's, you got to remember, in our era, the quarterback was open. He could get hit. You couldn't wear flak jackets back then, and, you know, so the first defensive lineman got to you, was going to pin your arms to your side. Linebackers would come in and spear you with their helmets to try to break your ribs to get you out of the game.
Yes,
but
okay.
I knew going in I was going to be part of it. You didn't like getting hit, but if I had to run, I had the ability to run a little bit. All we want to do is keep moving the chains, moving the ball, and scoring points. Al taught me one thing, Al Davis. He says, Darryl, he says, all you need to make is 8 or 9 big plays a game. You'd like to get them touchdowns or field goals or a combination. And he says, that's all you're going to get. And if you can take advantage of that, then you're going to win most. He says, the most important stat for a quarterback, he preached this to me, is no interceptions and no fumbles. Because he said, and then it was back then, it was true in 1967, and it's true today. The team with the best turnover ratio wins 93% of the time. Big number. And that remained with me to this day. And but that's the type of players that we had. It was all us and we, never I or me, and that's what made the Raiders so special. You see it when we get our reunions, when we get together at various functions. It's still there, and it's like we're still on the practice field. And winning is, you win together, and you lose together.
Are you surprised some of your passing marks with the team still stand to this day?
I am, because I never worried about stats.
Right.
I never worried about completion percentages or yardages or something. All I ever wanted to do was win. I didn't care if it was by 1 point or 100 points. And stats don't mean much to me. That just that win-loss column meant everything, and Al Davis taught me that.
Well, the one thing that still jumps out at me is the single-season touchdown mark. The 34 touchdown pass in one season. Nobody in Raider history has caught that. Derek's come close.
Yeah, and I think Derek will beat that.
Howie Williams, what do you remember about the 67 season and winning the 67 AFL championship?
Well, I remember the great effort we made to get there in the championship game, and we were disappointed about the outcome, of course, but we mounted our greatest energies and dedication to that season, and we just kept building on the momentum we would build each week to get there. And Davis just kept, you know, encouraging us to just win, baby. And that's what we did.
You were part of a defense known as the 11 Angry Men.
Yeah, exactly.
How did you earn that nickname?
Well, we played angrily. You know, the other guys would smile. They'd come around before games, want to shake your hand and all that stuff, you know. And most of us just kind of ignored them, see, till after the game. So if they won, we would congratulate them, of course. But we were good sportsmen, you know, so
sure.
We'd congratulate them. But we didn't want any part of them until after the game, because they would try to intimidate you and all this stuff, you know.
And, right.
We didn't want to accept that at all. So we maintained our dispositions at the time of playing angrily. And if you caught the ball when you weren't supposed to, we would try to destroy you. You know, and that's what they're doing nowadays, which I'm glad to see. You know, they're playing with that kind of ferociousness. So
now that defense had six defensive touchdowns too. You guys were an opportunistic defense. You had four pick sixes and two fumble returns for touchdowns.
Right, right.
So was that the mentality when you got the ball? You guys were going to score.
Take it. You know, you get a freebie. You know, go for it. You know, they're not expecting it because you know the offensive people just not alert to tackling people and that type of thing and the techniques and so forth. So, hey, you go for it.
You call it a sudden change nowadays.
Sudden change in climate, you know.
Yep.
So that's the way we felt about it. And I played angrily. If somebody was going to catch a pass on me, I was just kind of devastated.
You going to make them pay for it?
Oh, I'd make them pay for it. You know, that's it.
Yeah, Gus, let's, you know, what do you remember of the 1967 season?
13-1 is what I remember. We won 13 games. That's
right.
Out of 14, that's a pretty good season.
Now, the 67 AFL Championship game against Houston Oilers, you guys were very dominant in that game, 140-7. And the defense, you guys were known as the 11 Angry Men. So how were you able to dominate, you know, that Houston Oilers team and win that game so decisively?
That's a long time ago. Well, we played together as a defense, you know, and you know, we had some pretty good stars, you know, but we had pretty good pass rush. We had the corners out there that would shut their receivers down, and their running game didn't affect us much either. So it's pretty easy to shut them down on defense. Now on offense, we had a lot of weapons,
right?
So that was fun.
Because their quarterback, Pete Bethard, he was no slouch. He's pretty decent quarterback.
And he was a pretty mobile quarterback, you know. But sometimes there's no place to run, and that's the way it was that day.
It seemed like, you know, your defense that year seemed to delight in terrorizing people. It just seemed like, you know, what you tried to do was just intimidate and be more physical than the other guys.
Well, I think what happened is we had a lot of, like Ben Davidson, people that intimidate people with a smile on our face, you know, and because it was fun.
Right.
We had a lot of fun out there. And when you're winning and when you're playing well, it is a lot more fun.
Clem Daniels, what do you remember about the 1967 season?
I broke my leg the ninth game of the season, but we had an excellent offense, great defense, and it was just an outstanding experience. The primary thing in terms of our offense was that we had blocking combinations that were just very extraordinary that you see come along every 15, 20 years. And the defense, our linebacking was just outstanding. Our defensive line, we had the leadership on that team that was just unbelievable. We had very few, teams like that to come along. And the cohesiveness of that team was just very, very exceptional.
Now, when I talked to Jim Otto about it, he had mentioned that the big shock in the offseason was Tom getting traded to Buffalo for Daryl LaMonica. So you guys always show up to camp and you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We thought Tom was going to be the guy.
Uh-huh.
What was it like when Daryl came in?
Well, Daryl was, we didn't know that much about him, but he adopted real quick. And once you saw him throw passes and this kind of thing, you understood that there was no slack in terms of cohesiveness and ability to move the ball. But he came in with the right attitude, and he didn't come in with a know-it-all kind of attitude that a lot of quarterbacks do. And he was a quarterback that would listen to you, and he would ask you questions: what can you do in terms of certain plays and this kind of thing. In other words, he had a mind like a sponge, and he was able to just gather all of that information and put it in place where it became a very effective offense.
Now, you came in, what, 61, 62?
61.
How far, it had to be night and day. How far did it come from 61 to that 67 championship? I know Mr. Davis came in at 63 and turned it all upside down. And
two or three worlds of difference, no question about it. Al was the type of innovator that he came up with ideas that were just, revolutionary. But even though he was a very intelligent coach and a great teacher, but he relied on the players to make contributions to the offense and to the defense. I never played in the game when he was a head coach where he didn't come with me at halftime and said, what do you see? What can we do the second half? But the thing about it, if you made a suggestion in terms of augmentation to the offense, you better make sure it works. That's for sure.
Last question. That defense in 67, Raiders defense was known as the 11 Angry Men.
Yes.
What was it like going against those guys in practice?
Oh, God, I tell you, it was almost like playing in a game. We had some guys on that team that were just unbelievably crazy. You know, and whether it was practice or in the game, there wasn't very much difference. And certain guys, you had to look out for them in practice because, you know, they would hit you.
Dwayne Benson, what was it like being part of one of the first Raider units that had a nickname? You know, there was all kinds of nicknames back then, the Fearsome Four, some Purple People Eaters. But you guys were the 11 Angry Men in 1967.
Yeah, it was interesting how that came about. I think part of it was we were tired, and so after a big play, rather than jump around and hit each other over the back, we bitched to each other. We walked around bitching, and I think that's where you look like we were always angry. I think in reality, we were just tired.
Just tired. Well, that year, you guys sacked the quarterback 67 times. You had 30 interceptions, 6 defensive touchdowns. What was it like being part of that unit? You had Ben Davidson on that team and a bunch of other, yourself included, but a bunch of other great defensive players.
It was something I'll never forget. It gives me chills just to think about it, because not only was it a good defensive team, they were the craziest bastards that ever lived. And did we have fun? We never showed it, but we really had we had fun and a lot of respect for each other. And most of them are still here, thankfully.
Now you get into that AFL championship game in 1967 against the Houston Oilers. That's the number one rushing team. They had Hull Granger on that team, and they led the league in rushing. And you guys shut him down in that ball game.
Well, we actually called him Hoyle Granger.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Because we didn't have any French training.
Yeah.
And so we could stop him easier because we treated him like an American, not a French guy. But they had, we had just an all-out blitz on every play. And we had these wonderful corners like Willie Brown, Kent McLuhan, who could play man-to-man. And so we used to pity the poor bastard who had to play against us because we could bring the whole bunch. And we did it a lot. It was hard to run against, hard to pass against, and it was a fun time to play.
You had, you know, such just the great front four in front of you. Oh. Tom Keating, you had
Ben Davidson, Ike Lassiter, Carl Noetz.
You had the tallest guy ever in football history, Richard Sly.
Oh, yeah. Seven feet. He fell in the shower in training camp, couldn't get up. We got to get a crane and pull him out of there. Set him upright.
No.
Yeah.
1967, you were the spy in the sky, from what I read in the newspaper. You had hurt yourself in the offseason, and you sat in the press box and kind of scouted. What were you able to see during that season, and how were you able to help out?
Well, I was concentrating on the coverage that they were giving us and trying to relate it and give it, pass it on to the quarterback that, you know, if this safety is here, you can expect a blitz, and if he's over here, he's not going to blitz, you know. And so, you know, this is, and Daryl and I roomed together, and we understood each other, and I think I helped him a lot, you know, during that time.
Now, when you came into the American Football League in 1960 with the Dallas Texans, it was a brand new league. Lamar Hunt and the guys that were known as the Foolish Club had started this thing pretty much in a dinner setting with Bud Adams. What was that like, being part of the start of a new league that ended up changing football?
Well, I was coaching at Baylor that year. I had gotten my shoulder hurt again, and we had a guy from the Oakland Raiders, the Baltimore Colts, get the job at Baylor. and he wanted me to come down and put the Baltimore offense in for him. So I was coaching that 1 year, and then the American League was formed. And I was, you know, I thought I was through playing, but it gave me a chance to come back, and it was a blessing because I played another 7 or 8 years and really enjoyed it. I just thank LeVar Hunt for getting that program together where we could have another league and make football a lot more competitive.
Now, in 1962, after week one, Don Heinrich was a quarterback for the Raiders in week one, and you were required in week two and came in and started pretty much right away. What do you remember about that year? I know the team only went 1-13, but you know the next year Al Davis came in as head coach and general manager. What do you remember about that time?
Well, I actually told all my people that were playing that first year that I am through. I was 1-13. If I can't do better than that, I'm quitting. And I left here that year knowing that I think I was through the football. And Al Davis had played in an All-Star game down in San Diego. And Al had coached with Sid Gilman, the All-Star team. And he and I got to know each other pretty good over about 3 or 4 day workout periods. Anyway, he got on the phone and talked me into coming back, and it was a blessing for me because we went from 1-13 to 10-4, and I never will forget the game that I saw Al with tears in his eyes when we played San Diego here in Oakland and beat them. We scored 31 points
in the fourth quarter.
And beat them. And after the game, I went up and I talked to Al, and I said, Al, that was a good game. He had tears in his eyes. He was so happy, you know. So, everything was just, you know, like the good Lord got this pattern together and says, you follow it and it'll all work out. So,
1963, I've got a photo of the first home game at Frank Yule Field where you guys wore silver and black, and you're throwing a pass to Bob Mischak. Yeah, it's a great photo. It's the first time you guys ever wore silver and black at home. What was that like when you guys changed the uniform? Was there kind of a buzz? Was there an energy with that?
Well, it was, you know, it was a little pickup there, you know, but we're going to look sharp and play sharp. So you can't look ragged and play sharp most of the time.
Well, by the late 1960s, the Raiders were the top team in the AFL.
Yes.
And you were there when they weren't, and you saw it progress from that to, you know, being a contender for the AFL West title and a contender for the AFL title every year. What was that? How did that feel at the end of your career?
Well, of course, it felt great because I wasn't playing because unfortunately I'd had some injury problems, and
you didn't say that.
I felt like that we had taken the program to a different level, and for that to happen, we could almost tell the people in the stands, this is for y'all, you know, we want to get it up there and make it work.
Warren Powers, you were
thinking it's fun.
Part of a defense that intercepted 30 passes in 1967. You guys sacked the quarterback 67 times, and you were known as the 11 angry man. What was it like to be part of that team?
It was just awesome. I mean, you know, I have to tell you what, everybody depended on the other guy. It wasn't somebody out there doing everything on their own. We had to win to depend on the other guy, and so he was gonna pick up for your losses.
Now in 1966, you led the team in interceptions, and then in 67 it was Willie Brown.
Uh-huh.
You had Kent McLuhan, you had Howie Williams, you had Roger Bird in. You had quite the secondary.
Oh yeah, we had some great players. You know, we had some great players. Well, that's the reason we had a good team. If you have that many good players on defense, the defense is what makes the team.
Well, you guys were the only one-loss team in American Football League history, and you defeated the Houston Oilers 40-7 in the AFL Championship game. Oh. What was that run like, and what do you remember the most?
Oh, I don't know. That goes back a long time.
But just 50 years.
You know,
longer than I've been alive.
I can't remember last week, much less 50. we had some good players, and we kind of relied on each other, and everybody kind of, you know, kept ourselves in good shape, in good spirits, and everything else, so we could perform for it. You know, we had to rely on each other, and that was the big thing about it.
You know, Raider Nation, this is a story that I never get tired of telling, and one I don't think gets told enough. Some other notable stats from that season and the championship game. LaMonica threw for 3,228 yards and 30 touchdowns. Fullback Hewitt Dixon led the team in rushing, filling in as the starter for Clem Daniels after he went down in Week 9 with an injury, and also led the team in receptions. Billy Cannon had 10 touchdown catches. And Fred Biletnikoff averaged a stunning 21.9 yards per catch. Willie Brown led the defense with 7 interceptions. Warren Powers had 6. Dave Grayson and Howie Williams had 4 apiece. And Kent McLuhan snagged 2 picks. In the 1967 AFL title game, Dixon and Pete Banaszak each ran for more than 100 yards. Dixon had 144 and Banaszak ran for 116. The Raiders held the Oilers to just 146 yards on the day and bottled up the AFL's second-leading rusher, Hoyle Granger, for a total of just 19 yards on 14 carries. Although they fell to the Green Bay Packers in Super Bowl II, the 1967 Raiders will long be remembered as one of the greatest teams in franchise history and the one and only one-loss team in AFL history. That's going to do it for this episode. I'm your host, Jerry Knack. Join us next time as we welcome back 2-time Super Bowl winning head coach Tom Flores as we discuss the 1980 AFC Divisional playoff game between the Raiders and the Cleveland Browns in a game that has become known for one fateful play call, Red Right 88. And remember, Raider Nation, once a Raider, always a Raider. Till next time.
Thank you for listening to Once a Raider, Always a Raider on the official Raiders Podcast Network.